request and touch him, Lord, help him to grow and gain strength, Lord. We ask, Lord, to be with all the others, Lord, in a special way. Guard us and guide us and watch over us. These things we ask in thy name. Amen.
Amen.
Turn now, please, to hymn number 600, Blessed Assurance. Hymn number 600.
Thank you.
Praise Him, praise Him, all ye little children.
praise and thank you that you've given us together, Lord. You've allowed us to come worship your name, Lord. We ask, Father God, you take these tithes and these offerings, Father, and you bless them and use them for the betterment of your kingdom, Lord. Lord, just ask that you do this now in the remaining of the service, Lord, and open our hearts and our minds to you, Father. May we hear your voice, Father, and be filled with your spirit. We praise the Father in Jesus' name.
I'd like to welcome each of you again this morning to the house of God. We're thankful for every person that's here, and I pray that God will bless us together to feel that it's been good to be in the house of the Lord, to be able to worship Him and to feel His presence when we sing the songs, in the prayer, and in the study of God's holy word. Good to have Sister Gladys, his sister, Sister June with us today. Thankful that she's here. And I'm thankful for every person that's here, and I pray that God will bless us together, that we all have so much to be thankful for today. And I pray God will help us to realize how thankful we should be for His blessings in each of our lives. I'm very thankful that Brother Roger Walker's daddy came through surgery last Sunday night. He had a heart attack last Sunday evening, and they did heart surgery immediately, and he's been doing real well, and we're very thankful for that. He's out of the hospital, and just thankful he's making good progress. We would ask all of you to continue to pray for his daddy, pray God bless him with speedy recovery. He still has an aneurysm and some other complications, so please remember him in prayer. Sister Pat Sylvester is still recuperating from her surgery. Would ask all of you to pray for her. Sister Christy and Brother Chris are blessed with a baby boy, Michael, and we're thankful that he was born and was as strong as he was. He was born Wednesday night late. We're just real thankful for God sparing Christy's life and the baby's life. We'd ask you to please pray for both of them. She's still in the hospital in Savannah, and hopefully she'll be able to come home soon. They want to get out of the hospital. She still has very high blood pressure, and the baby is real weak right now. So please pray for them, pray that God be with them, bless them soon, be able to be back home and be doing much better. But Bud, we're thankful, is doing better from his bronchitis. Pray that God will bless him to feel better. Brother Dalton got burned this morning. We're thankful that he wasn't burned any worse than he was. Glad he's able to be here in the house of God. Just have many others that we want to thank the Lord for. For the Mac and Sister April fan out, they are having a little boy. We're thankful for that. Pray that God bless him, be with them, and bless that baby as he matures in the Lord. Please remember the service this afternoon at 2:30 at Riverside Nursing Home. Pray that God will bless Brother Robert Barnes. He brings the message there. God gives him liberty and bless us together in that worship hour. And then at 5 o'clock this afternoon, is that right? 5 o'clock this afternoon, Brother Mike and Sister Michelle begin working with the young people on the special worship service that we'll have on December the 24th. So please pray for them. All parents, please bring your children so that they can practice and begin to make preparations for that service. That's at 5 o'clock this afternoon. Also, the Comfort Food, the next issue is here. We need help getting that issue ready. So any of you who can help with labels on the magazines during the afternoon or tonight after the evening worship service, that will be greatly appreciated. Last you stand and sing number 262. Number 262.
I would like to also ask all of you to be praying for God to bless Brother John Smith tonight. He'll be preaching tonight. Pray that God will bless him and bless us together as we try to worship the Lord in our evening worship service at 6 o'clock. So pray for him and pray for God to bless us all together. If you have your Bibles this afternoon or this morning, I'd like to ask you to please turn to the book of Acts. I would like to read from Acts chapter 18. The book of Acts chapter 18. I would like to begin reading with the 12th verse and read through verse 16. I encourage you to follow in the Bibles and look at the Word of God and look at what God's Word says as I try to read from the Word of God. Acts chapter 18, verses 12 through 16. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from the Word of God, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege that we have of knowing the one true and living God, and to know that Thou art our Heavenly Father. We find great peace and comfort in knowing that You love us more than anything we can ever begin to comprehend. We thank You, Lord, for the love that we have for each other here in this world, the love for brothers and sisters in Christ, the love of families, and the fellowship that we enjoy together with our families and the family of God. We thank You for the privilege that we have to meet together to worship Thee in the singing of songs, in prayer, and in the study of Thy holy Word. Lord, we thank You for the bountiful blessings of life. We know that we can never begin to thank You enough for what You've done for us, but we look forward to being in eternal heaven one day and being able to give Thee the praise, honor, and glory that's due Thy great and holy name. But we're also thankful that while we live here in this world, that Thou hast given us the privilege to be able to come together to try to worship Thee. And we come this morning wanting and desiring to worship Thee in every way that we can. We pray that You would help us, not only in the house of God, but as we go about our daily lives, help us to worship Thee each day. We thank You, Lord, for Your blessings on Christy and Michael and their family. And we pray that You would bless the baby to grow stronger and to feel better, and bless Christy and just bless them in every needed way. And bless all the others who are with child. We thank You, Lord, for each of those babies, and we pray that You would bless them to grow and mature in their mother's womb. We thank You, Lord, for blessing Brother Roger's daddy and for blessing others that have been very seriously ill during this past week. We thank You for sparing their lives and blessing them to be doing better. And we thank You, Lord, even those who have lost loved ones, we're thankful that You're able to give the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And Thou dost know the needs of every person here this morning. We know that You know every person's particular burden and problem. We pray that Thou would bless, not according to what we deserve, but according to Thy mercy and Thy grace, that Thou would have mercy on us all and help us. Help us as we go through this coming week. We pray that You would bless us in every endeavor that we undertake, that we would do it to Thy name's honor and glory. We pray, Lord, that You would bless the service this afternoon at Riverside Nursing Home. Bless Brother Robert. That You would bless Brother Mike and Sister Michelle as they begin to work with the young people this afternoon. Pray that You would bless the Trumpet of Truth, bless the radio ministry, bless the bus ministry and everything that's done. We pray that You would help us to do it for the right purpose and for the right reason, to honor and glorify Thee with our lives. Help us to be faithful in our service to Thee. Again, now we pray that Thou would help us to try to study Thy holy Word. Teach us and instruct us, we pray, in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to read now from Acts chapter 18, beginning in verse 12. The Word of God says, "And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul, and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. When Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. and he drave them from the judgment seat. That is, he drove them away from the judgment seat. I think it's amazing that even today, that the courts of our land basically follow this same principle that God gives in His Word right here. That when a church has conflict, the courts of our land will seldom hear any conflict in the church. If there's a problem in the church is supposed to settle those problems. There are people that have often tried to carry church matters to the courts of the land, and at least until recently, the courts of the land have refused to rule on church matters. And that's basically what happened right here. The Apostle Paul was brought before the judgment seat by religious leaders, and they were saying that this fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. And Gallio said, the judge said, if it was a matter of him doing some wrong, I would judge that matter. If it was some lewd act that he had committed, I would judge that matter. But when it talks about, when you're arguing about names and doctrines and things like that, he said, that's your business. That's no business to be brought before the courts of the land. So this man had a lot of wisdom in what he said. The main thought that's on my heart, though, this morning is in Acts chapter 18 and verse 13. I want you to think about the charge that was brought against Paul. The Word of God says that they were saying, this fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. And brethren, we do worship God contrary to the law. I'm talking about the law that they were following in their day. Paul was worshiping God contrary to the law of Moses. That is, he was not under that ceremonial law trying to offer the blood of bulls and goats and calves for his sins. He believed that Jesus Christ had saved him from his sins. But he was doing what they said. He was persuading men to worship God contrary to the law. Because that law worship was no longer acceptable to God. And that law worship is no longer acceptable to God today. But then the main thought that's on my heart is the first part of that. When they said, now this fellow persuadeth men to worship God. And I think that's wonderful. I'm glad that Paul was out there doing such a good job of persuading men to worship God that there were people that despised him because of the work he was doing. Did you know that if you're just kind of lazy about your spiritual service, did you know that the world will not care too much about your religion? It's only when you get serious about your religion, it's only when your seriousness about religion begins to affect other people in this world that the world will begin to hate you and despise you and stand against you. Now, Paul was a man that was so busy about his father's business and so zealous about persuading men to worship God that it was arousing a lot of trouble. It's kind of like earlier in the book of Acts, the Word of God, the charge was brought against those apostles and disciples of Jesus. The charge was made, these people are turning the world upside down. Now, brethren, the only time that Christians are ever turning the world upside down is when they're zealous and busy about their Father's business. And I pray that God would help all of us to begin to be a lot more dedicated and committed in our service to God so that it might be said of us, these people are turning the world upside down. Did you know the world is wrong side up? The world needs to be turned upside down so it'll be right side up. It's upside down. Everything in the world is upside down. Everything that men come up with, every way of men is contrary to the way of God. And one of the functions of the church, one of the functions of the people of God, is to turn the world upside down. And that's what Paul was doing. But one of the things he was doing was persuading men to what? To worship God. Now, that's the main thought on my heart this morning is, are you persuading men to worship God? Are you persuading men to worship God? The first thing I want you to understand is that sometimes God's people, I'm talking about children of God, who know God and know Jesus Christ and fear God and fear Jesus Christ, sometimes even those people who are a part of the church, sometimes they worship something other than God. Did you know that's true? That all of us in this building, that's the first people I want us to talk about, all of us in this building, though we do worship God, sometimes we worship someone other than God. Sometimes people worship their families. Did you know that? The family comes before God. Sometimes the family comes before the Word of God and the people of God. But listen, brethren, your family, though you are to love your family, you're not to love your mother or your father or your wife or your children more than you love God. That's worshiping someone other than who? Worshiping someone other than God. Can you worship the preacher? Is that possible to do? Listen, I want you to notice in the very last page of the Bible, I want you to see now in Revelation chapter 22, the Word of God is talking about John the Apostle. Was John the Apostle a great man of God? Yes, he was. Did he worship God? Yes, he did worship God. But did he sometimes worship someone other than God? In Revelation chapter 19 and again in Revelation chapter 22, the Word of God tells us about two occasions where even John the Apostle was worshiping someone other than God. Listen in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 8. The Word of God says in Revelation 22 and verse 8, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not." What did that angel say? "Don't worship me. See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God." Now this word, this angel was telling John, don't worship me. What was he saying? Worship God. Was this angel, this messenger, was he doing the same thing that Paul was doing back there in Acts chapter 18 and verse 12 or 13? Yes, he was. He was convincing John that even though I have shown you these things, even though I have taught you the truth, you need to understand that you are not to worship me, you are to worship God. And I would exhort this church that you never, and every individual in this church, that you never worship me or any other man. Worship God and God alone. Any man that ever is able to teach you anything from the Word of God, the only reason he is able to teach or preach the Word of God or show you anything in God's Word is because God blesses him to do that. When Philip preached to the eunuch and took Isaiah chapter 53 and preached Jesus unto him, and the eunuch rejoiced in the preaching, the eunuch did not worship Philip, he worshiped God. And that's the way all of us need to be. Don't you ever exalt a man. Don't ever put a man on a pedestal and worship the man. Worship God. God is the only one worthy of worship. And that's what Paul was doing, was persuading men to worship God. Did people sometimes try to worship Paul? Did they want to worship Paul? Sure they did. They began, on one occasion, they began to just fall down before him and worship him. He said, "Get up off your knees." And did they try to worship Peter? And he hollered and told them, "Get up off your knees. Don't worship me. Worship God." Peter, Paul, John, they all were men. And though they sometimes like John right here, what did John do wrong right here in Revelation 22? What did he do wrong? He fell down to worship the angel, which was a messenger, which was another prophet, a fellow servant. He said, that fellow servant says, "You get up off your knees. Don't you worship me." Can children worship their parents? Can children worship their parents? Is there a difference in children honoring their mother and father and worshiping their mother and father? There's a major difference, and we need to understand that we must, If you're not honoring your mother and father, you're not obeying the Word of God. You're to honor your mother and father, but you're not to worship them. Now, sometimes God's people worship people. Now, I want to go to a different category of people. Did you know that sometimes God's children, I want you to listen carefully to what I'm saying, but sometimes God's children worship not people who are just doing good, but sometimes God's people worship the creature more than the Creator. Everybody hear what I'm saying right there? And that's taught in Romans chapter 1, verse 25. The Word of God condemns those people in Romans 1, 25 and says that they worshiped the creature. Now, were they only worshiping the creature? I want you to listen carefully because I hadn't really noticed that until this week in studying. I'd always just thought about those people were just worshiping the creature. They were not just worshiping the creature. They were worshiping God, and they were worshiping the creature. How do you know that? Well, because the Word of God is so specific to say there, they worship the creature more than the Creator. They worship the Creator some, but they worship the creature more than they worship the Creator. And I believe, brethren, that you and I sometimes as God's people, though we are children of God, redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, I believe that sometimes we are guilty of worshiping the creature more than the Creator. The Creator is God. What was Paul going around doing? He says, this fellow persuadeth men to what? Worship God. Don't worship men. And now the second statement that we want to consider is that we're not to worship the creature more than the Creator. Well, what does the word worship mean? Let's just think about what does it mean to worship anything. Whether you're worshiping a man or a woman, or whether you're worshiping a movie star, or whether you're worshiping gold, or whether you're worshiping God, what does it mean to worship? Well, it means to adore. It means to fall down on your knees and on your face before someone. It means to honor. It means to reverence. All of that is part of worshiping. Can you come to church and never worship God? Yes, you can. I don't believe that in this world I'll ever worship God like I need to worship God. I believe when I get to heaven, I'm going to worship God like I've never worshiped Him before. I look forward to heaven. I look forward to worshiping Him completely the way He needs and should be worshiped. And I believe we can worship God a lot better than we're worshiping God. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? We can come to God's house and get in such a ritual. You know, under the law of worship, was it rather ritualistic under the law of worship? And that's part of what Paul was getting the people away from, was the ritualism of the law of worship. He began to teach and instruct them. He says, now, when you pray with the Spirit and you pray with understanding. Don't you just recite some prayer that somebody else has told you to pray. Pray with the Spirit and pray with understanding. Don't just say the words. And he says, and when you sing, sing with the Spirit and sing with understanding. Why? Because they that worship God must worship Him. How? In spirit and in truth. If you lack either one, you're not worshiping God. Now, we need to worship God. We don't need to worship men. And then the Scripture says we don't need to worship the creature more than we worship the Creator. And do we sometimes even worship the devil? I remember one of the first things that one of the teenagers told me many years ago, and she's a grown mama now and has teenagers of her own now, but she was very burdened because she said that there were people at the high school here who were worshiping the devil. And I told her, I said, well, we all worship the devil sometime. Now, does that shock you to know or to hear that we all worship the devil? What does the word worship mean? It means to reverence, to adore. We pay homage to the devil. We give the devil credit. We do what the devil wants us to do sometimes. We worship the devil. Is there anybody here that understands what I'm saying, that we worship the devil? I'm not talking about that we have some figure that we bow down to that's the devil. But brethren, when we do what the devil would have us to do, when we bow down to him, instead of bowing down to God, we're worshiping the devil. The devil tried to get Jesus to worship him, didn't he? Do you know why he tried to get Jesus to worship him? Because he had already been so successful in getting everybody else in this world to worship him, and he wanted Jesus to fall down and worship him. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 4. Let's see that the devil tried to get Jesus to worship him. We're talking about how Paul was persuading men to worship God. Now, if you're persuading men to worship God, one of the other things you have to do is persuade men not to worship men. You have to persuade men not to worship the creature more than the Creator. And you have to persuade men not to worship the devil. Because those are three statements that the Word of God specifically talks about, that God's children get into the trap of worshiping someone else. And the only one we're to worship is God. Worship God. No one else. In Matthew chapter 4, I want you to see how the devil, and you're familiar here with these temptations where Jesus went up to be tempted of the devil. He was led by the Spirit of God to be tempted of the devil. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 8, the Word of God talks about one of those temptations. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 8, the Word of God says, "Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Did you know there are people, there are church-going people who are falling down and worshiping God in order to get some things of this world? Everybody hear what I said? There are church-going people who are falling down and worshiping God in order to get things of this world. Did you know that most of us sometimes fall down and worship the devil so we can get some things of this world? Now that's what the devil told Jesus. He says, "I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world if you'll just fall down and worship me." Did you know most of us would have yielded right there to that temptation? Did you know that? Because he doesn't have to offer us all the blessings of this world. All he has to do is just offer us a little bit of stuff, and sometimes we'll yield. What was Jesus' response after the devil said, "I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world if you'll fall down and worship me"? Here's what Jesus said. You know what Jesus did? Jesus worshiped God, and Jesus persuaded men to worship God. And Jesus told the devil, listen, in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10, the Word of God says, "Then saith Jesus unto him," that is unto the devil, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Worship God. What was Paul persuading men to do? To worship God. What was he persuading men not to do? Don't worship men. Don't worship the creature more than the Creator. And don't worship the devil. When you talk about worshiping the devil, tell me some things. Tell me some ways. I just want somebody to tell me any ways that you think that we might could worship the devil. And there's a sense in which when we worship men and worship the creature, we're worshiping the devil. I think all of it falls basically under worshiping the devil. But tell me some things that we worship in our lives, in our society today. What are some things that we worship? Some of you teenagers first. Tell me anything that you think that teenagers worship. Somebody tell me, what are some things that teenagers worship? Okay? Celebrities. Celebrities, yes. Celebrities. It can be somebody in Hollywood. It can be a songwriter or singer. When I was in high school, the Beatles were worshipped. Did you know that? The Beatles were worshipped. In fact, the Beatles finally got so bold as to say, I don't remember the exact statement, but it was something to the effect they were more powerful than Jesus Christ. And that's when they began to fall. I remember, you know what we did at Decatur High School? We took all our Beatle records and all of our Beatle paraphernalia. We took them up to the high school, and we had a big bonfire. We burned our records and we burned our stuff because we would not be a part of a group that claimed to be more powerful or more. I don't remember. It wasn't necessarily powerful, but it was something along that. More popular. I believe that's it. More popular than Jesus Christ. Now listen, when the man starts bringing shame and reproach on the cause of Christ, it begins to open our eyes to just how much we were worshiping those people. Did you know it was hard to burn those records? And I can still sing most of those songs. I mean, they still, you can start one off and I can finish it up. But the point is, we worship the Beatles. And teenagers worship celebrities. And they worship rock groups. And they worship different singers. And what do we better be careful about doing? You know, people will sometimes drive 2 or 3 hours and pay a lot of money to go see some celebrity. Now, some of you that are picking on the celebrity worshipers, what about football games? Sometimes people drive a long ways to go to football games. Do some people do everything they can to get people together to watch football games? What about getting people together to talk about God? Do we spend as much time and energy trying to persuade men to talk about God and worship God as we do to worship the football teams and sports? Can we worship hunting and fishing? Can we worship a lot of other things? Can you worship gold? Can you worship gold? Do you remember the children of Israel when Moses went up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, to get the Word of God? Do you remember while he was up on the mountain? Do you remember what the children of Israel did while he was up on the mountain? They made a golden calf and they... Do you know what they did? The Bible says they what?
Worshiped.
They worshipped that golden calf. They worshipped the golden calf. They worshipped gold, didn't they? You and I do the same thing sometimes. Money, because money is not evil, but the love of money is the root of all evil. All right, Sister Sarah, what's something else that we sometimes worship? Movie stars. That's right. We worship movie stars. So there are a lot of different people and different things that we worship, we pay homage to. And sometimes, did you know that sometimes we worship them more than we worship the Creator? We worship them more than we worship the Creator. People, family members, celebrities, money, things. You remember when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in Babylonian captivity? Do you remember what Nebuchadnezzar told them to do? He said, at the sound of the sackbut and the psaltery and the dulcimer and all those other things, fall down and worship that this golden image, I believe he said. This golden image. When you hear that music, you fall down and worship that golden image. He combined music and gold together. Boy, if that doesn't get somebody, I don't know what will. He said, fall down and worship the music and the gold. And they fell down, many of the people fell down and worshiped that golden image. But did you know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we will not worship that golden image. We need that same kind of determination in our life. Let me ask you this question. Could Paul, listen carefully, could Paul persuade men to worship God and not worship other men and not worship the creature more than the Creator and not worship the devil if he himself was guilty of doing any of those things? No, he couldn't persuade men unless he himself was first doing what he ought to do. There is no way in the world that I or you or someone else can persuade men to do something that we're not doing ourselves. And I thank God that Paul worshiped God and God only. And that's the reason Paul was able to persuade men to worship God. That's the reason the Jews hated him, was because he was persuading men to worship God contrary to the law. And I pray that God will first of all help us as individual members of the body of Christ, that God will help me to learn to worship God and worship only God. No other gods. Don't worship any other gods. Just the one true and living God. Is that hard to stay on track sometimes? Oh, you can worship God on Sunday, but what about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? What are we worshiping? Who are we worshiping? And the second question is not just who we are worshiping, but the second question is, are you? What if the court did hear, what if Gallio did hear the charge against you and said, all right, Brother David, I'm taking you before the court for persuading men to worship God. Will there be enough evidence that you'd be guilty? Do you see the point I'm trying to get? Are we so guilty of persuading men to worship God that we're making the world that angry that they'd want to kill us or put us in prison? Are we doing that? I think that I need to do a lot more than what I'm doing. Because I don't think I'm persuading enough men to really, really worship God. And part of the reason is maybe because I'm not 100% worshiping God. Worship God. Fall down before Him. Did you know there are other religions that I think, and I don't, somebody help me with the Muslim religion. How many times do they bow down and pray every day? How many times do they bow down? 3 times, 5 times, at least, what do they do to their God? They bow down, don't they? A lot of them carry them a little blanket around just to bow down on that blanket, just to bow down, worship God. You'll see pictures. Have you ever seen pictures of hundreds of them just lined up, bowing down, worshiping their God? Do you think they love their God? Do you think they love their God? Yes, they do love their God. Do you think they are submitting to their God? They're submitting to their God. Are they showing more honor to their God than Christians are showing to our God? I believe they are. Now, that's a sad documentary when other gods are getting more worship than the one true and living God. There are some people that when they come into their worship houses, there are some people that when they walk into their worship house, they come down and the first thing they do, you know what the first thing they do when they walk into their worship houses? I'm talking about people who believe in the same God we do. There are some people, you know what the first thing is they do? The first thing they do is they walk down front and they bow down and they pray. They don't necessarily get out loud and do a lot of noise, but they bow down and they worship God. We need to learn how to worship, brethren. And we need to start worshiping God. And we need to really worship God. And we need to worship God in spirit and in truth, for there's no other way to worship God. And we need to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. And we need to persuade men to worship God. The Lord willing, we're going to try harder. Listen carefully. As your pastor, I have failed to impress on you the seriousness of worshiping God. As your pastor, I have failed to insist that we lay all pride aside and that we really fall down, bow down, and worship God. I want to give God more glory than anybody else gives their God glory. My God is worthy of more glory than anybody else's God is worthy of their worship. Does anybody follow what we're saying? We serve the one true and living God, the only true God. May God help us that we would really, really bow down and worship God is my prayer for Christ's sake. Now, let me say one other thing in closing. Can you walk down this aisle and kneel down here and never worship God? Can you get on your face, flat on your face, and not be worshiping God? Can you praise the Lord with your hands and not be worshiping God? Can you sing songs and not be worshiping God? You see, you can go through all the ritual of worshiping God without ever worshiping God. May God help us to do what we need to be doing, but to do it for the right purpose and in the right spirit, not to be seen of men, but to glorify God in worshiping God and in persuading men to worship God is my prayer for Christ's sake. Brother David, what number do you have?
Number 10.
Last, we stand as we sing number 10. Number 10. If you love God and desire to serve God and worship God, then let your desire be known as we stand and sing number 10, Worthy of Worship.
Worthy of praise, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all the songs we can sing, worthy of all of the offerings we bring.
You are worthy, Father. You are worthy, Savior, Sustainer. You are worthy, worthy and wonderful, worthy of worship and praise.
Worthy of reverence,
worthy of fear. About what we've heard, and that God will help us to begin to worship God in the beauty of holiness, to worship Him better than we ever have before. Anything else before we dismiss?